original.
And this space that we are considering here will be visible for truly some time, and it's not necessarily closed, but it's just open. And but the space manifolds we are going to do are non-closed human surfaces. That is, Riemann surfaces with a continuity and some number, non-zero number of punches, or in a more general set of poles, which are actually a kind of two-dimensional black holes. Then again, it's pretty standard that we introduce the fundamental variables, the local frame E, and the spin connection omega, and the strength relations between them, and relations relating the local frame to the metric of the surface. And then the day we obtained from the Einstein equation, the chair sign is actually this one. And for non-zero cosmological constants, we can split this into two parts, producing the corresponding S421 EH fields. And in each, for each part of this, we just have a chain silence section of standard form. Well, just from this action, we can calculate the Poisson brackets between these guys, the I and J space-like variables. And this Poisson bracket section is and we can say that observables in this picture, which should play a main role in the rules, observables are given by polynomials of Wilson loops or the same geodetic functions on the Riemann surface. And Poisson bracket things are very complicated by a whole one. 97. And this have this nice and simple form. So if two geodetics cross one pole, then you just resolve this crossing by two possible ways, and this gives us just a matter of observation, this gives us actual Poisson bracket between these guys. So the motivation actually proves what I'm going to say first of all has something to do with this is that in a kind of proper quantization of Bessel theory, we must be able to produce the same answer. So we must be able to obtain the same Poisson brackets and the same quantum versions of these Poisson brackets between observables. And why? So we have already Poisson brackets. Why do we want to say something? No, because we know that actually, this 2 plus 1 gravity is a topological theory in the sense that it has no local degree of freedom. So, actually, none of the degree of freedom is finite. And basically, even those brackets were locked. So, we want to find out some convenient representation for this output of observables, and we actually start with the convenient parameterization of Riemann surfaces, or better to say of Mallow spaces, of Riemann surfaces of arbitrary genus and arbitrary but non-zero number of punctures or holes. For this, we essentially use the graph description of fashionable space of human surfaces produced by Wolf and what we are going to show is exactly this, that this coordinates that I will present here admit first a convenient and simple and not mean also just canonical computational procedure, which results in quantum derived type relations or quantum derivative functions. And basically this justifies this choice of coordinates of fractional theory. Again, and this is the first question I will address in this lecture. The second question is following the space of observables itself, as we know, is the space of closed geodetic and linear surfaces, and due to the spin relation that we also described lower, this space in this space is constituted by so-called multicurves that are by definition just curves without self-intersections. And by some reason, exactly this curve plays also a very important role to be considered algebras just for these curves. So how it looks like? It will be the example that we always will have in mind. Just you see the torus with one pole, and on this torus we have the structure of geodetics, and all of them, all geodetics that I draw here, are just of exactly that type, have no self-intersection. There are three green geodetics and one red, and basically the basic green and basic red correspond to A and B cycles of the torus. And two other screens I try to draw to respond to some classes of sums of A plus B and A plus 2B cycles. And still, even if we consider curves that have no self-intersection, there are infinitely many of them. And in mathematics, it's a known construction, the so-called train tracks theory, which is a part of the sourcing theory, that describes a proper logical completion of this set of curves. So that means that we want to be able to consider not just curves of finite lengths, but curves of in the original sense of infinite length, but we want to introduce this curve into the set of observables of quantum theory of that. And of course, it's not obvious from the very beginning how to do it, and second, it's a problem that there is also another ingredient in play. It is a mapping class group action. And this mapping class group action acts on this curve sort of decisions. For instance, this is just the first example. If we have just a single curve, that you may say that one generator of the mapping class group corresponds just to bent twists around this red curve. And upon this dent, we have then the second green line, green curve. And if I would say this twist twice, I would take the third line, the twisting over this handle twice. So, and this is just one example. And basically, this mapping class group action, and actually it acts in a very involved way even on these closed curves. If we consider the closure of the set of closed curves, then the action on this closure is immensely complicated. And we even came separate the two of some of this section, so that the arbitrary goes first can be arbitrarily far in some sense. So it makes the problem very complicated, and actually it's up to now there was, I would say, more some reliable description of this action on the set of all observables. And we, this Bokner, proposed a solution to this problem, and the solution had a price. That is that instead of just length of curve, you must introduce additional parameters, which have a sense of each parameters with respect to some action, and we call them graph lengths. Graph represents the fact that we use some additional structures, namely the graph structure that we introduce on the linear surface. And it turns out that both these guys, the length of geodetics and the ground length transformed under the mapping plus group action in a consistent way. And having this graph length to be just classical variables upon quantization procedure, we can merely proceed to the ratio. The actual length or the proper length that we call it, which is in the classical sense it's just a classical. In a quantum sense it's the sum of the vector acting in the Hilbert space of the theory. And we consider if we consider just this ratio, then the problem becomes much more simple, and this ratio occurs nice transformation properties under the mapping class group action, and turn out to be continuous in classical case, or really continuous in the equatorial case, in the quantum case, and continuity is both in rational space coordinates and in the certain coordinates on the space of generalized multiples. So basically this is what I'm going to speak about. Basically this is the content of the lecture. But of course we now must stick to some technical description, which is which has some nice moments, so I don't want to skip it. So and let me just start with this what we are calling the graph description of continuous space of surface discourse. You see there are many people that contributed to this stuff. And we start just from because we are working with the classical solutions, so we are working in the space of constant curvature. And we present the model of this space that an upper plane with the action for a discrete Fuchsian group, which is a discrete subgroup of PSM bar, which is the symmetry group of this plane, this metric. And you know that action of this group is organized in a way that we claim each element of this to be hyperbolic, that means that it makes a translation into this plane, and the translation seems to be just almost identify this, so the Z and as parallel transport along the current axis of the element. For instance, if we have two generating elements whose invariant axis are moving around then we have the fundamental domain that is sketched here. And if we glue this circle to that, and that circle to this, we obtain exactly what we used before, namely the torus is one point. And the boundary of the torus is just a path of this fundamental domain that are on the boundary here. And recall that the boundary here is an infinite distance from everything, so it's part of the infinite. So there is a nice actually description of elements of these hoops and grooves. And again, for this we can just I will not go into detailed geometrical description. Let me just present what we have at the end of the day. As I say, first, what we have. If we have some curves on the ribbon surface, let's draw a graph, or ribbon graph, or that graph that separates the surface in a way that on each face of this graph we have exactly one pole. This, by the way, describes why we have. Well, we must have at least one pole, because each side graph has at least one face, and each face contains one pole. So that means that in order to have a graph, we must consider open ring surfaces of this kind. Then what else have we? Because this graph is a conditional surface, and that means that having any just taking first from the surface, I may continuously transform to the path in this graph. And well, there are also geometrical parts that if we have this geodetic that go around the bottleneck of this, then we have no more geodetic that intersect this. And basically this, in what follows, you see that if, say, two lines do not intersect in the circle, then the corresponding objects, we know they correspond to commute by golden bracket structure, and they will also be commuting quantum operators in the quantum series. That means that in this description we have surface with n pole, where at least we have n central elements on the corresponding algebra. And next situation is that here we have just three-valent graphs. Let me, in what follows, mostly speak about fat graphs. When I say graph, I mean fat graph that's going on this surface if I do not include surfaces. So for fat graphs, for three-valent fat graphs, the number of edges is governed by just pair formula. It's easy to calculate, that is Cj minus 6 plus 3n. And as we have n central elements, then the real quantum space will have a dimension Cj minus 6 plus 2n. And this is exactly the proper real dimension of the corresponding where are you getting this metric from? Is this metric a background metric?
The metric of what?
So let's talk about geodesics for the room.
It's just a metric of constant curvature. That means that if I translate this feature, then the geodesics is a metric I just half-circle.
So if any plot curve on the graph is just the image of some half circle under the action of the corresponding system.
So
is
this
kind of
gauge
fixing
or something?
The only gauge fixing was here when we sent to the classical solution to find something right. Because it's just a spaces of constant curvature.
Yeah.
And then I say, okay, now I will consider the possible classes of this space. They are the two-dimensional cases generated by genus and possible some open domain like those with the holes. So basically it's you may consider the general solution for Einstein two-dimensional graph.
So you're looking at classical solutions in terms of
yes, from the gravity side, yes, but after that we will see that we will introduce quantum quantities from the corresponding model spaces. And introducing these quantities will enable to reconstruct the proper quantum relations between quantum related operators. We also know correspond to Wilson loops in the chain science.
So really in some sense if you were describing this case of one principle metric you can put on this surface.
Yes.
So when you say it doesn't get an observable, do you mean the length of the data?
Yes. That's the trace, yes. It's a trace form.
What I'm confused about is, when you put that the trace of the holodome, that's with respect to the gauge theory. So when you say geodesic, is that with respect to the metric?
Yes, and they coincide. They coincide.
But I mean, the geodesic will change with the metric. Like, if you make a different marker than the metric, it will be a different metric, and so the geodesic will be a different curve. If it's a dynamic metric.
No, it's observable. You cannot change it. It's just an observable quantity that it is a reparameterization of the
reference. You see, the environment is from what is the security of
the language has to be the but the actual location of the thing.
But we don't speak about actual location. No. Only the length. That's the main point. The space of observables is the space of length. The spectrum. In classical case, it's a spectrum. But in quantum case, it's a set of non-commuting operators. You cannot say about their mutual.
In quantum case, how do you know if you're out of cell, let's say, how do you know that the geodesic will have the same number or.
We'll see. So now, but before discussing quantum case, let's discuss plus how it works. So we now associate real numbers to each edge of the graph. And then we have a set of one-to-one correspondences. First we have the conjugacy classes of the Fuchsian group. For these conjugacy classes in hyperbolic space, we have conjugacy classes of the first homotopy group from the surface. That means that in each class of smoothly transformed curve, we have exactly one geodesic. And this again means that these conjugacy classes are, of course, in one-to-one correspondence with the set of four geodesics on the Riemann surface. And because of this smooth transformation property, we also can say that for each float geodetic, we get a closed pass on a graph that splits the surface into simply connected parts. And next from the geometry side, we know even the explicit parameterization of this path graph. So,
we need to verify looking at another block saying it is the same way into this case, the focus of the continuous function.
Okay, yes. We have now a path on the graph. And it passes those new edges, and it makes a curve because we have an orientation because it's quite rough, so the order of edges coming into each vertex is right. So that means that if we have an oriented path, and if each vertex it turns left or right. And then just the recipe that we come from geometry, that on each edge, when the path goes to edge, we put this 2x2 matrix, this that real parameter Z that corresponds to this particular image. And in terms of this path, we set matrices of left or right. So we have this, just this matrix score in the usual sense. And simple but really interesting thing is that just having this product, we may construct a geodetic lens at gamma, or a more convenient object is a geodetic function that is double cosine of this lens by 2, and this is nothing, just the trace of this matrix. Okay, but let's turn our attention that I put here both A. What does it mean? It means that, of course, having just a surface with a graph drawn on it, it's not just a unique way to draw the graph. For instance, we have this elementary transformation that if I have this subgraph, then I can do the flip transformation. That means that I extrude this edge and put it in other direction. And definitely after that, I have a different graph. And basically, the question is where we have the structures that are preserved. And answer is yes. So if we have the numbers of these edges transforming in this way, with the rest remaining the same, and with this particular function, then the set of geodetic lens or geodetic functions is invariant under this flip transformation. And second, nice property, and that they also have not only this relation, but we have a pentagon relation, which Rector described on when we should do our transformation, but I can do just sequence of 5 flips on using neighbor edges of this graph. And after this sequence of 5 flips, I must come to the initial graph. And the thing to check is that these transformations satisfy the pentagonic rule to the things that this sequence of transformations produce the identity. And this is crucial. Also, it follows from just geometrical considerations. The information here is will be not empty, so to say, in quantum theory, where we have no clear geometrical picture of what is happening, but we may just claim some algebraic sort of this same kind of move it forward. There we must change this function and in a way to satisfy this set. So in a way to satisfy this pentagon identity of quantum operators. Next is this. So, geodetic functions, we have several relations that could be important for us. And the first relation is purely classical. This is a scheme relation. It means that for just arbitrary two by two matrices to be union determinant, we have this relation. And graphically, this means that if I have two geodetic functions corresponding to everything a single crossing, that I can resolve this crossing in this way. So the product, because each trace has a geodetic function, so the product of two traces is presented as traces of two, so first three, four functions. So we have here the sum of two geodetic functions corresponding to this two particular geodetic lines. And this is, by the way, explained why we use namely the geodetic result self-intersections at the base. Because using this just as classical scheme relation, we can disentangle any crossing of any number of geodetics and present this crossing as a linear combination of geodetic functions entering the curves or multi-curves, geodetic combinations we use as well, but in mathematical, more common term is multi-curves, is not just one curve without self-intersections, but a set of curves without self-intersections and without usual intersections. And for instance, having these two sets of curves, we can proceed with their product. And their product will be expressed as a linear combination of all the multi-curves with some integral coefficients. Okay, the last note is that if I have more than one curve, then the corresponding function that corresponds to the multi-curve will be the product of geodetic functions corresponding to each separate curve. But this is purely classical. And the first step is quantization, and it is already known just geometrical, is introducing the Poisson structures. And we introduce the Poisson structure on the set of this Fashionable space coordinates in a very simple way. So if three edges meet in one vertex, then we impose that in the size of the Poisson bracket between the corresponding coordinates, it might just Poisson brackets, so that I, then I plus one is just the unity, where I is understood more free. So why, actually? We have no action in this picture from which we can obtain this Poisson brackets, I must confess. And the motivations for this is exactly comes from following two facts. That actually three. The first, it's simply to check that the geodetic functions for geodetic surround poles are central elements of this Poisson brackets. B is that having this Poisson brackets, we can easily check that it preserves its form under the mapping class group of three Poisson brackets. And the most non-trivial part is also the checking part is that having these Poisson brackets, we can calculate the Poisson brackets between the corresponding geodetic functions. And these brackets exactly reproduce the structure that we had in the course produced by Gordon. That is, having geodetic functions for two intersecting curves, and taking the Poisson brackets, we obtain exactly this result. And the advantage is that these proton targets are indeed so simple that it's not so hard to quantize. Actually, just from these moments, great deal of this, what can be the quantization of this bed. So it's so good, but still it has many different consequences. And just from the corresponding principles, we now replace a classical coordinates and attachment space by quantum operators, from which we need only for example the permission of the latents. And instead of Poisson bracket, we have a commutation relation of this field. So it's just a kind of bombardment commutation relations for vectors. Next, we must now produce is the operator that makes this more field corresponding quantum particles. The only thing that we must change in this transformation so now, instead of having A, B, C, D, Z, just numbers, we have operators. They claim that the corresponding operatorial transformation has exactly this form. Actually, it must have in order to preserve the commutation relations. This is some not very restrictive restrictions on the corresponding quantum. Quantum function, and actual restrictions on this function comes not from preserving the commutation relation, but exactly from satisfying the pentagonal equation. But this function was probably first appeared in Fadier papers, and basically it's now called quantum dialogue. And then we have all the machinery of filter space representations in quantum case to work out. And we have the action of the mapping class group of this form. And because, again, because of the vertical spec of this action, we see that the corresponding quantum algebra does not depend on the choice of the basic graph. But what is the hard now problem is to define the corresponding quantum ergodic length operators. And the problem comes exactly from the fact that before this ergodic operators were traces of some products of matter. Basically, we know that they must be still some traces of products of matrices, but now entries of these matrices do not commute. So, actual trouble here is that we must now proceed to introducing some quantum ordering of the operators that enter this product. Basically, again, something. There are things that simplify this problem. Basically, this is because these operators always have the form of exponentials of some zetas, and since zetas has a constant commutation relation, then the only thing that arises in this quantum ordering are some inherent factors of this form, which we must add to this exponential. But as up to now, we still have no consistent, we have a consistent procedure, but we have no some reliable recipe how to produce what exactly has to be called to produce this quantum correction. The only thing that you can say is that such phenomena exist. This exactly follows from the formula. This formula must satisfy this two properties, the most important. First, of course, the corresponding mapping class group action must preserve a set of quantum geodetic functions. And second, if the geodetic half fits that again the product of two quantum geodetic must be given by a linear combination of quantum multiple of quantum geodetic combinations, these spin relations of right. And third is that if I have two terms without intersection, then the corresponding geodetic functions for a Poisson commuting in classical case must be quantum commuting in the quantum case. Okay. But now the question is, what are these quantum relations? And what is the corresponding geodetic out? So the lemma is that if I have two curves given this arbitrary number of intersections, and I have the corresponding quantum geodetic operators, then at each intersection I have this quantum derived relation. That means that I again resolve this crossing by in two possible ways to produce the quantum curve, and the only thing that comes from quantum sides are this quantum effect where Q is 2 by RH. And if I make this resolution simultaneously at all crossings, then I obtain the corresponding quantum multiverse, and it's easy to check that if I, for an empty loop, I have this prescription, then for these crossings, they have the right Meister moves. This prescription is consistent with just different choices on the same curve. So I can move it on the right without changing the corresponding quantum relations. Okay, now let's see why first. What we know, nevertheless, something about this quantum ordering, and say for graphs into curves that doesn't go through the same page twice, this ordering coincides with the bifold. So all these corrections don't be zero in this case, but in general case it is apparently not the truth. For instance, if you consider one non graph into geodesic, which are the explicit example, you can see that here we have quantum, explicit quantum corrections. Well, actually these considerations have a lot of interesting consequences. For instance, about which I will not tell you today, but just to mention that having two geodetics with one intersection, just the corresponding products of quantum geodesics can be resolved in two different ways. If I set these two geodesics in one order, and if I set them in the other order, then the only thing that changes are these new factors in front of these geodesics. And among them, say, on the poles, I can choose three graphs. But basically, these relations are non-closed. Since we obtain the force here, then I must produce the total for this reason. First, it could be that a whole bunch of quantum related functions. But in some cases, we are able to prove this algebra. Like, for instance, exactly this case, if I introduce a cube commutator for these two guys, I can be able to cube this term, and then in both cases I obtain a kind of pressure to sweep out these cube commutation relations. And in more general cases, such algebras are also known that they were studied by Nelson. They were started by Nelson and later their representation was studied by people from different far. And but it's a little bit apart of the mainstream of my talk. But I just want to explain that even if you restrict the number of possible geodetics in the play, we can obtain some interesting quantum properties. But our goal is not to restrict them. Our goal is quite opposite. Now we want to include as much this multi-purpose into play as possible. And at this point, I will go to the second part.
I'm still lost on something about the physics. So really, this is 2+1 gravity, right?
Right.
But you're dealing with two dimensions. So
yes.
Something like a slice.
Yes.
If I use a different slice, would be that's a length.
But for this, we need to consider the dynamics of this produced by the first combination.
So we're still in the kinematic stage?
Yes. At the moment, we are still in the kinematic.
I guess from a 3D perspective, it's more like if you take a group of your computing some cell which is in this is the art observable, so it's a geodesic lens that should be associated with the rule stream.
From a 3D perspective, it won't be a geodesic in space time, so it won't be a geodesic in the size. So it seems to be it has a lot of creativity.
But it's commute to the constructions.
Actually, no. What we do believe is that there must be a Hamiltonian in this way, expressing the dynamics. We don't know how.
And then it'll be a question about the commute from that Hamiltonian. Or something.
Yeah, they're doing it.
No, they are not doing it with this.
Observable in the kinematics, but they're not kinematics.
They are each world and the pieces they are observable. For instance, just a quantum mechanics thing, X and P, let's take X and P. They are observable, but they do not consider them a neutron.
No, that's not living one of them.
You may do it.
It's observable means that you can look at the
so this means in the sense that they are VHP there.
But from the point of view of the theory, we're talking about the chance on this theory. The constraints to generate VHP there.
Yes.
So that's being VHP there.
But they are not necessarily connected with the is a social utility. They may have a dynamic, some buildings may have a dynamic.
You've done a little bit of gate systems on that. I think it must be a little bit.
Oh, no, 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 no. At the moment, we just consider the algebras of observables. And under observables, we understand that they are quantities that are regular regularization. And we associate
the
correspondence
of the regularization there to a certain,
yes,
that understands that.
Well, it's just, I must confess, it's just one slice. But we know more or less, we know the recipe how to do it for the code of this right? Still, it's too complicated
to be done at the moment.
But we hope. But, so again, how much time is left?
Maybe I'll just make it better than these guys.
Okay,
so I'll make it better than
this. Okay, 60. Okay. So what we have already. So we have the parameterization of observable space phases, that is the set of journalistic conditions. On the other hand, we have some coordinates that parameterize the curves itself, the curves themselves, as we see. And with this, so introducing the correspondent description, I need the part of source to see. So the surface theory from the physical point of view is a kind of effective theory for observers. Say, if we have closed geodesics, let's not forget about the metric on the surface and consider just the topology of this set. And then, again, if I have some graph drawn here, and if I have some curve, I can set it to the graph. From the graph, I will have a lot of squares that grows in this way, and the only condition is that these squares never intersect with each other, if I consider multiple curves. That means that if I make just slicing here, cross slicing of edges, then on each edge I can set n alpha that are just exactly the numbers of this thread that goes through each edge. And recall that we also have another number that is shaped with this edges, that is coordinates on the tangent space. And an original fractation of surface through, you see the root arguments in the problem, was that this set of numbers, if I consider just arbitrary numbers, much numbers, then this gives us the projective limit of the first cell. That is, this set describes the boundary of the cache for this space. So that means that we must somehow produce this then alpha from n. And what we are going to do is not this. So actually we want to preserve both sides. Instead of considering this this n alpha is a project field of z alpha, we introduce both parameters into the plane. Because this is what we need to namely describe the quantum search to zero. We need some a little bit more notation, so I will be shorting this part for you. And so the first is the notation from certain theory of plane flight or the highway. So now imagine that we have some graph on the Riemann surface, and this graph has J for this part. And we we also allow these joints to be split and joined in different ways. So there are equivalent classes from the graph Y, and we also can some empty loops of this form, but these three loops are true. And why is it related to what I described before? And this is exactly because I can include the notion of this frame for carrying an animation. That is, I can draw some ghost, smooth ghost curve on this, along the edge of this graph in a way that this curve must pass through all the edges, but not necessarily just once. And what does it mean? It means that actually I may introduce the transverse measures on train tracks, and these are positive real numbers, and in each joint I have exactly this condition that this number on the jointed line is the sum of numbers of this line. That is it. It's better not to speak about train paths, but on lengths on high lengths. Because we have as many lengths here as the sum of lengths here and there. Also, we need to somehow manage to deal with boundary components, but just let me skip this part. Just say that we must be able to describe this. This model is the boundary curve that goes around the boundary of the place, all the same around the path. So we just round the curve. So we just exclude this curve from the projected plane from consideration. And at the end of the day, we may describe the corresponding train track in terms not of original lengths, but of H lengths, which are a kind of shear problem. So just on so we consider instead of just these positive numbers, this the following combination of them. And basically it corresponds to the number of lengths that goes either this way or that way. But it can go both ways simultaneously. So this coordinate are now before this very restricted. And this H are now unrestricted coordinates, except that we have a lot of our condition that there's something over up to zero. And if I consider the mapping to our conformation for this form, I obtain exactly the same picture before. As I have got for rotational space coordinates, the only thing is that this function is now that function. And this function is exactly the projected image of the corresponding quantum classical function that we had before. This really explains why you can speak about these H coordinates as a projective limit of rational space coordinates. But we want actually to unify all these problems into one set and consider the space contrived by both sets. And the tool for this unification is the following notion. So let's introduce what we call approximating continuation. That is just a sequence of integers such that in the projective limits and this sequence of integers approximate the set of H lengths if in the limit the ratios correspond to ratios of the corresponding H length, that is they make the projective limits of H. Then, if as soon as I have now rotations not just some real numbers but some integers, I might associate with a set of integers that corresponding classical or quantum derivative. Already said, but just we have in mind that when in the limit vector to infinity, this length also becomes infinite. That is, this limit itself makes no sense for the graph. Now also, let's introduce a notion of the graph. The graph length for geodetic combination will be just the linear function of the corresponding corresponding train class of this form. So basically just if I set all these parameters A to be just the unit, it just basically just count how many times the corresponding curve passes through the edges of the corresponding representative graph. And the proper length of a quantum geodetic operator is just a real length. So, but just a, basically just a logarithm of corresponding. So basically a quantum geodetic operator is just a hyperbolic cosine of the length that is. The length itself is just a logarithm of the corresponding operator, but it's better to produce it in this way. But actually, it's just a corresponding quantum operator for the graph length. So the main claim in theory is that here we have a set H of H lengths, which are just real numbers. The top graph. Then for any approximating sequence and beta of n lengths, the integer lengths, the limit is projective lengths of the corresponding theoretical relation divided by the plus graph lengths exists both in classical and in. And this defines the completion of the projective set of observables of this slice in two dimensions. I have some transferences just describing the proof of this statement. And so, a free diagram of the relevance of some properties. And they let it be very broad. Actually, the elements of the proofs can be split into two. The first, we must show that the proof, we must show that we have the continuity of so-called rational powers. That is, that theoretically, if I have a lot of threads passing this way and very few passing that way, this proof is in a quantum case, a classical case, for example, the same effect. So the same way, you pass it through some other things like this. So these two cases must produce a closed quantum and classical theory, which, if I just see this picture, then it has this. Let's just put it in this part, let's consider just both this one pool. Then there is a nice description of these guys in terms of continuous functions. That is that if I have M2, M1, and M1 plus M2 squares in this picture, then if I proceed to the continued fraction expansion of this ratio, then I can present a sequence of operators that in the limit must give me a quantum periodic length greater than a long and perfect. This looks as follows. So I have some an I on each step, and these I's are related by the gradient performance this time. And obviously I have some quantum operators that correspond to all these guys. It's on one side, and on the other side, these eyes can be reviewed just from one operator if I apply a sequence of quantum densities. So you see that this continued fraction expansion, I will think about a sequence of quantum unitary operators acting on the corresponding units. And this L operators enjoy the nice algebras, which are actually, you see, they are just a kind of this new algebras, this new commutation relation that we had for just the fourth case. And basically, this is some basic quantum relations for this guy. And to prove the continuity, we must find out the representation of these operators in the limit when we have a long curve. And it turns out that in this limit we can present some of these operators in a quite simple form of this type. And this type of true that so this is exactly a short answer that at the end of the day we have no quantum corrections. This quantum operators, and they are indeed continuous at rational points. And for rational points, we have this. Now this sequence of twist operators, again twist operators, become infinite. So what to do? Actually, it turns out that we might have that sooner or later we come to asymptotic regime, in which these operators become large in the sense that expectation values of them becomes infinitely large for any compact functions. The Hilbert space and this gives us, if I act by this then it is just a matter of calculation to obtain their actions of the post-formula operators. In this limit, it turns out that this action becomes linearized. And this action enjoys this Reynolds relation, just linear. And it turns out that the graph lens, which is classical, enjoys the same translation, and from this we can establish that the ratio of these two guys is just a continuous unit when this sequence becomes infinite. Now, actually, this is the end of the path, and just let me mention that. In fact, it wasn't very obvious from the very beginning, because indeed the action of the damp twists makes, if you consider just functions, it makes them wildly non-continuous, just put terms into very different sides. And only when I take this limit becomes a good continuous function. Well, just to say a few words about terms and perspectives, in that, of course, it's very interesting to try to apply this formalism for describing 2 plus 1 yt. And comparing this quantum relief for this group from this. And also to find out possible relations to some related problems other people. And also it may have some non-trivial consequences in numbers. Because what we get at the end was a kind of quantum continuous quantum expansions. And also it would be interesting to partially apply to the times and periodic functions, which correspond to infinite curves in this setting. But actually we know that, for instance, to each expansion points, let's say the simplest one, have just images here. Then for each such expansion we have Reynolds relations for finite form. Then for this, for simple. It's still not that simple. For instance, just to my knowledge, we still know just a generous reason for such Reynolds relations. And in quantum theory, there are things in the relations of this cube commutation. So which would be associated with what we can call some quantum continuous fractions.
I think that's a good thing.